Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has questioned the finance ministry's plans to cut VAT rates. The European Commission has criticized the Czech Republic for restricting EU nationals' political rights. And a large exhibition of graphic artist Bohuslav Reinek opens in Prague. The Czech finance ministry's plans to cut the two existing VAT rates by 1% to 20% and 14% respectively in 2016 have not been approved by the coalition parties and would have an disproportionate impact on the state budget, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said on Wednesday. Mr. Sobotka's remarks came in reaction to the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes report on Wednesday, which revealed the details of the plan. The finance ministry also plans to introduce a third 10% VAT rate next year that would apply to drugs, books and baby food, which the Prime Minister said was a reasonable compromise. The European Commission announced on Wednesday it would continue its proceedings against the Czech Republic along with Poland and Latvia over the country's restrictions of EU's nationals' political rights. Under Czech law, citizens of other EU member states are not allowed to join a political party or form their own and are at a disadvantage to local citizens when exercising their rights to stand as candidates in local and European elections. That is contrary to EU law and goes against the principle of non-discrimination on grounds of nationality, according to the European Commission. The Czech Republic and the two other countries now have 2 months to address the issue or face proceedings at the EU's Court of Justice. In the latest news, foreign nationals who moved into the Czech Republic in the past 5 years are perceived as problematic by 60% of Czechs, according to a survey by the CVVM agency released on Wednesday. Meanwhile, some 32% of people who took part in the poll said foreigners did not present a problem on the national level. Locally, however, foreign citizens are perceived as problematic by 25% of Czechs. The poll also found that some 70% of Czechs believe foreigners permanently residing in the country increased unemployment. 65% said they contributed to rising crime levels, and 57% of Czechs suggested foreigners presented a health risk. Around 10,070,000 people in the Czech Republic, or 10.2% of the country's population, suffer from some form of disability, the Czech Statistics Office said. Since 2007, the percentage of people with disabilities has increased by 0.4 percentage points. However, the average period during which people suffer from disabilities has shortened from 13.6 years in 2007 to 12.4 years. The figures, based on patients' registers, also suggest an increase in the number of people with innate disabilities. In 2007, 12% of disabled people had been born with their handicap, while this year it was 14%. The average mortgage interest rate dropped to a historic low of 2.93% in March, according to an index compiled by the Fincentrum advisory firm. It is the lowest average rate since 2003, when monitoring began. In March, nearly 8,300 clients took out new mortgages, which was around 2,500 more than in the previous month. The overall volume of new mortgages grew last month to 13.8 billion crowns, some 4.3 billion more than in February. The decrease in rates has been fueled by competition among banks and could continue for months to come, an analyst for the Fincentrum firm said. A large exhibition of works by the graphic artist Bohuslav Reinek opens at Prague's Waldstein Riding School on Wednesday. Entitled Reinek, A Genius We Were Supposed to Forget, the exhibition presents some 80 graphic pieces by the artist, who lived in seclusion in his country house until his death in 1971. Heavily influenced by Catholicism, Reinek's work was not publicly displayed after the 1948 communist takeover. His first exhibition under communism was held in 1964. The Prague retrospective, organized by a Czech advertising company and curated by Reinek's granddaughter Veronika, runs until the end of July. Hockey player Tomáš Slovák, bike rider David Babiška and former cyclist Jan Smolík received the Czech Fair Play Awards on Wednesday. Škoda Plzeň defenseman Slovák was honored for admitting to the referee he had deflected a puck out of play during the decisive match of last year's playoffs finals. David Babiška, meanwhile, assisted an injured rider during last year's Dakar rally. He called a medical helicopter and waited with the injured Italian biker until it arrived. Former cyclist Jan Smolík, who won the International Peace Race event in 1964, received an award for his lifetime commitment to fair play principles, the organizers from the Czech Olympic Committee said. And in football, the top Czech division club Slovan Liberec have fired manager Jaroslav Šilhavý. The 52-year-old coach's contract with the club was to expire at the end of the season, but owners dismissed Šilhavý after they learned he was planning to coach regional rival Jablonec. Šilhavý joined Liberec in 2011 and won the league title with the North Bohemian club the following season. This year, Liberec is ranked fifth in the Gambrinus Liga with 4 runs to go, 26 points behind leader Sparta. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The next few days should be a little warmer, with overcast skies, occasional rain and daytime highs reaching up to 19 degrees Celsius. My name is Henrik Ter, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, with the boss of ANO controlling newspapers and a radio station, an opposition party wants to make media ownership an issue in May's European elections. Plans are announced to turn a 1930s Prague freight station into a new cultural hub. But do they have a chance of success? And the scandal-prone Czech healthcare system gets a mixed evaluation in this week's marketplace. All that's coming up in today's programme. The Czech media sector has often won international praise in the past for its freedom and independence. But some in the country are now questioning whether that's still the case, following accusations by billionaire businessman ANO leader and current Minister of Finance Andrej Babiš. The biggest centre-right opposition party, TOP09, is seeking to make media ownership an issue in the upcoming European elections. Chris Johnston reports.
This week, TOP09 leaders gave their support to a Europe-wide petition calling for the European Commission to push through strict rules on media ownership, which would prevent media moguls grabbing too much power and influence. The European petition is being led by such organisations as the European Federation of Journalists and around 100 civic groups across the continent. If the campaign gets 1 million signatures in sufficient countries, then the European Commission will have to react. As well as ownership rules, the campaign wants guarantees that national media watchdogs are independent of political power and clear definitions of conflict of interest to make sure that the media moguls do not occupy high political office. TOP09's aim is to collect at least 16,500 signatures in the Czech Republic. TOP09 leader and former Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg said at the petition's launch that a mixed and independent media is a guarantee of democracy. He and other party leaders have not singled out Andrej Babiš specifically for attack, but he is clearly one of the unnamed targets of their campaign. Babiš currently owns two of the Czech Republic's quality daily newspapers, the biggest-selling broadsheet Mladá fronta Dnes and sister paper Lidové noviny, as well as one of the most popular commercial radio chains, Radio Impulse. He is frequently rumoured to be casting his eye on television chains. Although sometimes dubbed the Czech Silvio Berlusconi, Mr. Babiš says he does not interfere in the day-to-day running of his media business. Indeed, Wednesday's edition of the Daily Dnes carried a report on how close associates of Babiš's agrochemical group Agrofert have filled top posts in the finance, transport and environment ministries, where the ANO party is dominant. But the paper has also led a campaign against Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka over the past privatisation of the OKD mining group and frequently appears to get stories thanks to close contacts with the Ministry of Finance. Babiš's ownership led to an exodus of many journalists at both papers. Marius Dragomir is a former journalist in the Czech Republic and an expert on media independence at the Open Society Foundation.
Czech media in the past has been a model in Eastern Europe in terms of the degree of freedom and independence of journalists, but the situation has worsened dramatically, I think, in the past few years. And I think the recent acquisitions that have taken place, especially Mr. Babiš's acquisitions, are part of this trend.
Media ownership is a very delicate issue at the national and European level. The European Commission attempted once before to get to grips with this issue in the mid-1990s, but did not get very far. The commissioner responsible was the Italian Mario Monti, and he had been sent to Brussels by none other than Silvio Berlusconi.
Thanks, Chris. Plans are afoot to turn a former railroad freight station in the Prague district of Žižkov into a new cultural hub. The culture minister signed a memorandum on Tuesday with Czech Railways, the local town hall and a developer, under which the largest preserved functionalist industrial building in the city could one day house the National Film Archive and other institutions. But does turning the listed freight station into a cultural centre make sense? That's a question that I put to the architecture critic Adam Gebrian.
To be honest, it's hard to tell because it's huge, the structure. And I can imagine that this thing could work only partially. So I'm sure that it could work nicely for part of the complex, but definitely not for the whole. But they have to start somehow. And I think to start with culture things and to start with public money for things like this, which is now listed, so it's protected. So it's the way to start, because I think that this easy idea that if the public money comes first, then the private money also will join or something like that. And definitely it's much better version than just cut it down or replace it by something else.
There was a plan a few years ago to build something like 3,000 flats in that complex, and only part has been preserved by this order. Do you know, are they still planning to build a lot of apartments in the complex?
The whole complex is much bigger than the train station or the depot station, because there are additional plots just next to it. And it's a bit complicated in terms of ownership, so I can't tell you how it is the situation right now, because of course this part which belongs to the Czech railways, but there's also a private one. I think the main reason was to really build a commercial and housing scheme, and the building has been supposed to get down because it was the easiest and shortest way how to extend the road, and so now that's impossible. And it will be a bit more difficult to do the other things. But I think at the end, the apartments will happen. But this is hard to predict because, I don't think there's such a huge demand for new apartments in this situation right now, and especially in these places.
Yesterday, the Minister of Culture, Daniel Herman, signed this Memorandum of Understanding on the future Culture Hub project. But he also said that there isn't funding agreed for it. Do you think we will see this project actually happening?
To be honest, I don't know. But it depends not, I think, mainly on the Minister of Culture, but rather on people who would like to be inside of that building and work in that building. And one of them is chief of National Film Archive. And I think he's deeply interested in being there and work there. And so if he would be able to do it, which I hope he can, then it would be a good start. So, a public institution would come and join and start to use it. And if they would be happy with that, then it could continue. Because that's this major thing that many cultural institutions, and it doesn't matter if they are schools or museums or I don't know, film archives, they always build new buildings. And I think this needs to stop, because we have really many structures from the past which are really great, and in majority of cases they are in better quality than the new ones. And I think we should rethink this strategy of doing something new rather really use what we have.
The architecture critic Adam Gebrian. Now, the Czech health sector is a frequent target of criticism from those inside looking out, those passing through, and those on the outside looking in. Scandals are fairly frequent. Money for the service and praise from healthcare consumers often seem in short supply. Chris Johnstone attempts to gauge the health of the sector and work out whether it's giving good value for money in this edition of Marketplace.
Finance Minister Andrej Babiš has frequently described the Czech health sector as a black hole, as he struggles to get his head round the flows of money between the state, hospitals, regions and health insurance companies and the end service delivered to patients. What the minister describes as his new hobby is certainly likely to take up much of his spare time. In theory, the basic structure of the system is not so complicated. Most hospitals outside Prague and other big cities are in the hands of regional authorities. The biggest insurers, VZP is by far the biggest, but there are around half a dozen others, collect contributions from citizens. And the state sets down the guidelines for who pays whom for what and tops up the empty coffers if need be. The private health sector is fairly insignificant. But as a somewhat befuddled Mr. Babish has found out, practice does not always conform to the theory. Scandals about the regional management of health services, hospital purchases of equipment, the contracts drawn up by health insurers, and health cover offered are frequent material for the Czech media. This week alone, the finding of an in-depth audit into the State Institute for Drug Control, which licenses drugs and sets out what pharmaceutical products can be offered, were released. It found top managers spent recklessly on expensive office furniture and facilities, staff numbers rocketed, and a whole raft of past contracts were suspect. Health Minister Svatopluk Němeček says criminal proceedings could be launched against the former director. Minister Němeček, a former head of Ostrava Hospital, has himself come under media fire for spending tens of millions more than he should have for special surgical equipment. But the picture is not wholly negative. There have been attempts to cost acute hospital services so that managers have an idea how much it should be costing for types of operations and aftercare. Health economist Milan Prashil at Prague's Charles University has been leading the field in this benchmarking. The results have allowed him to identify what he describes as reserves, areas where potential savings could be found.
We have established a list of average costs, let's say, per minute on operation theatre, per day on a normal bed, per day on the ICU unit, and so on. And just for your imagination, 1 minute on operation theatre is like 1 to 200 crowns, 200 Czech crowns. And 1 day on ICU is about 7,000 Czech crowns, which on the other side can be much more than 7,000, depends on the type of ICU. So if you can imagine that you have like 100 patients per year with special therapy, and every single patient or majority of them is about 1 to 2 days longer on ICU in average, then you can expect that in this single disease group, you can see reserves as high as in millions of crowns. And this is very easily to trace down and calculate.
According to Prashil, the savings can be quite substantial, although it's often up to local politicians and hospital managers to show the determination to push them through. And there could be other factors, such as a desire to keep a supply of local hospital beds and service to prevent them doing so.
It can be as high as in units of millions of Czech crowns per one middle-sized hospital, which means could be hundreds of millions per group of regional hospitals. And of course, on the level of the whole country, you can speak about a billion, for example.
In one case, for example, a local hospital had its services dispersed in buildings far apart. The children's ward was a long way from the operation theatre, so it had the habit of keeping children after tonsil operations on the intensive care unit because of the risk of severe, sometimes fatal, blood loss that can occur. Keeping children on the ICU ward was a really expensive option. A cheaper alternative was to create a special reserve of beds for all departments near the theatre, which all patients could use. Prashil says the type of benchmarking he performed has now been taken up as a matter of course by the biggest health insurance company, VZP, and its rivals. But in spite of this, he says that there is still a tendency for consultants and other staff to sometimes deliberately overestimate operations or the complexity of care needed to treat some patients. Hospitals are then billed for extra work which is not performed. Such so-called gold plating is a major problem costing the Czech health sector tens, if not hundreds of billions of crowns, he says. Overall, though, the health expert believes Czechs should not be complaining too much, although it might make them feel better.
I think that the Czechs getting pretty fair value for their money, because I don't really think that the Czech Republic is a catastrophe in terms of hospital inefficiency or not even speaking about the quality of care. We definitely have reserves. We definitely have opportunities to increase the value for the money. On the other hand, I don't perceive the situation as a tragedy. Not at all. You know, if you take a look at the Czech healthcare and on the international comparison, it doesn't really seem that the Czech Republic is lagging behind the rest of Europe. On the other hand, it doesn't mean that we should avoid searching for inefficiencies and pushing the system to more efficiency.
Czech spending on healthcare is well below the average for developed countries, at just under $2,000 a head in 2011. That's around a quarter of the amount spent per capita in the US. Czech spending then accounted for 7.5% of gross domestic product, as compared with the OECD average of 9.3%. Milan Prashil again.
We don't have such a amount of private spending on the healthcare compared to not only to Germany but also to all the neighboring countries. I suppose that according to the international methodology, we probably have the lowest amount of personal spendings of our citizens for the healthcare. So if you take into account these aspects, then I suppose that we do pretty well.
Turning away from hospitals to the health insurers, and they have not had the best image over recent years. Billions, indeed, appear to have been thrown into a black hole in the bid to create a computerised data system and individual health cards with data chips by the VZP insurer. The so-called ISIP scandal appears so far to have only benefited those who got lucrative contracts to develop the system. And top positions within VZP have clearly come as political favours. Pavel Hrobon is by training a doctor, was head of strategy for VZP from 2002 to 2005, and is a former deputy minister of health. He is now a partner in the Prague-based Advanced Healthcare Management Institute, which offers courses in healthcare management.
I think there is a very deep problem with legal form and corporate culture, not just of VZP, but almost all Czech health insurers. They have a special legal form which simply doesn't give the management enough responsibility and enough power. And this is true, as I said, to all insurers. I mean, their performance obviously differs by who is the member of the management, but it's true for all of them. VZP, in addition, is burdened by the fact that its board is full of politicians. So it's a more politically driven organization than performance driven organization.
One mooted solution to some of the Czech health insurers' problems is a merger of the companies. But Hrobon sees that as more of a backward step than forward.
I don't see any reason why mergers of most insurers should happen. The minimum size of insurer is about 50,000. There is another question, and it is that the Czech Republic doesn't have a clear vision what the health insurers should do. I've mentioned the traditional role and a new role of health insurers. If we were to stick with the traditional role, which is collecting money and sending them to providers, it's true that we don't need more than one insurer. But if we are to move to the modern role, which we will have to do sooner or later, because just efficiency and quality of modern healthcare requires it, then we should allow the health insurers more responsibility, more power, and we should increase the competition among them.
Mr. Robon says the Czech Republic is stuck in the middle at the moment between a monopoly and fully competitive health insurance system. But, according to him, the lesson of healthcare systems in more developed countries is that there should be a move to more competition. Although reluctant to cite examples for the country to follow, he nonetheless cites the Netherlands as a possible role model for the future.
And Marketplace was written and presented by Chris Johnston. If you've got any comments about today's programme, please share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.